Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TPS Pod, Philosopher's Stone podcast, with myself, Jordan Strauss, as the everyman, you know, the simpleton, the uneducated, unwashed masses. That's what I represent. And Sam is the lofty scholar with all the knowledge, here to guide us to a better path, a better way of life.
Wow, and thank you, Jordan, for that introduction. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's been a month since our last episode. That's my bad, my B. Domestic life has taken over. And
does the B stand for baby or yeah?
It's my baby, yeah. My BB, my bad baby. No, he's a great baby, but he's a lot of work and he takes up a lot of time, and it's a lot of unexpected, like, things will arise where it's like hard to plan things because he's just like, you know, you never know.
Life is what happens when you're making other plans, right?
Yeah. The best laid plans of mice and podcasters. Anyways, we're here now. Our four listeners can fucking be satiated and stop hounding us for episodes.
Put down your picket signs. You can stop blockading my apartment.
No emails. The inbox remains.
I like that.
It's a drafty, empty void in there. Our inbox is like Nosferatu's castle, all right? And the Google alerts are Nosferatu that pop their head in. And let's see what I got. A security alert because I tried to sign in. I had to redo my password because I forgot the password. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I got an email in here. It's from Google. Okay. Oh, wait. Free. Okay. Whoa. We have an email from an actual listener. Oh. Wow. Okay.
Make sure you proofread it before you read it live on air.
Okay.
Some of our listeners are crazy.
Wow. Okay. This is fun. Very excited. Do we want to read it now or do we want to read it at the end?
Your call. I haven't seen it. I don't know. Let's do it. Let's read it now.
Okay. All right. This is our first. This is very exciting stuff. Okay, here's the email. Hi, from the UK. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now. I found you doing my master's, and you really helped me get my head around some tricky concepts. You are a great combination of funny and serious. Stay silly, Lisa from the UK. That's amazing.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's really nice.
We love you, Lisa. Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
For an email.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
You breathed so much life into this episode.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Now we're full steam ahead.
There we go. Here I was about to bail on the whole dream. But now I know we have reached across the pond all the way to Lisa, if you're a real person. I'm going to assume you are.
Yes, I agree.
And not one of our four friends that we know listens to this podcast in disguise.
Yeah.
But
hey, let's take the win, as they say. I'm not gonna poison
the well of gratitude here. I think that Lisa is a real person who really does like our podcast. And good for you doing your master's. That's
good for you, Lisa.
Good for
That's
you.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, there we go. Thrilling
stuff from the inbox this week. Wow.
Yeah. Tell your friends,
Lisa. That makes up for all the other times than when there was nothing except. Yeah. Anyway,
I was so used to seeing nothing, I almost glazed right over it. Wow. Okay. Incredible. Well, that's exciting stuff. Okay. And Sam, I watched Nosferatu like you requested.
I requested that?
Months ago. You told me to watch it.
Okay. I forgot. All right. Well, hey, great.
Yeah.
Have you seen? Okay. First question. Have you seen Sinners?
No, but I've heard it's good.
Ah. Okay. Great follow up to Nosferatu. I would go see Sinners. I think you would love Sinners.
Okay.
As well.
I have been instructed by the Lord to love the sinners. So hate the sin, not the sinner.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
This is also, we've become religious in the last month. So it might be a little bit of a shock, but we do whatever Joe Rogan tells us to. Apparently he is going to church regularly now. So
what? No way.
Yeah. I mean, I read things.
anything to get away with smoking weed in Texas.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's religious. He's saying it's part of his religious, tradition that he has to smoke weed to be in connection with his spiritual
realm. Oh, that's true, eh? That's a good point.
Yeah.
I could see him saying that.
Imagine a church where they really did make everyone smoke DMT every Sunday. Would that be good?
Every Sunday? That would be a lot. That would be a lot of DMT. That you could create a zombie army doing that, I think.
You think
like
so?
You could create like actual zombie followers. I feel like you'd fry your brain if you took DMT every week. Like you'd just become a shell.
You think so? I think it would be.
Yeah, that's like what the Manson family was. They were taking shit tons of LSD all the time.
LSD is, that's a long trip to be taking. I mean, LSD, you're going to be high for like 10 hours.
In terms of like intensity, though, the DMT, like you're getting the dose of DMT fucks you up way more than the dose of acid does, I think.
But the DMT leaves your system real quick, right? Like it's like a 10
but it doesn't minute. Leave your brain. Your brain is forever changed.
Right. Those neuron pathways are created and cannot be uncreated. It's one of those things where it's like certain brains that get exposed to those things, it really does make the last connection to insanity. I have a friend who was a childhood friend of mine for a long, long time. He was always kind of troubled, but he he passed away this past year, unfortunately, but apparently ayahuasca was one of the things that kind of like sent him off spinning down this dark path of addiction, and it ended up in his demise. And I've heard that can happen with certain people. And it's just like, how do you know which people? First of all, do you sign waivers at these things?
At the shaman tent?
Who's the lawyer?
Oh, for sure. You definitely have to sign a waiver. You have to sign quite a lengthy waiver, I would imagine.
You think so? Do you think it's on parchment? Yeah. Like something they made out of the tree bark?
No, he is a printer. He is a printer.
What? No, that ruins the experiment. A shaman with a printer.
And a square.
Do they walk around with iPads before they dose you? Like they're a Cactus Club server?
Yeah.
Are you going for the 4-hour or the 12-hour? Oh, the 12-hour. Oh. Well, you're going to be with us all night. Wow, that's very welcome. Well, my name's Lindsay. I will be cleaning up your vomit.
Oh, my God. That sounds scarily real. That's like a billionaire thing, I bet. I bet they have that service for the billionaires who want to
take ayahuasca. I don't think they're doing psychedelics.
Elon is. I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but he is for sure doing some crazy shit.
He's doing ketamine. I don't know. I feel like
I bet he's done DMT. I guarantee you he's done DMT and ayahuasca.
You think so?
He went to Burning Man. He was at fucking Burning Man. That shit flows like water at Burning Man.
Ironically, no water at Burning Man. It's the driest. Yeah.
All they had was Molly water. It was the best Burning Man ever.
That would be a horrific state of affairs if you ran out of water at Burning Man. No one can come rescue you, right? Something happened, some disaster, and all they have is this big one giant reservoir of clean drinking water, and someone at the peak of their trip decides to just dump a huge bucket of powder Molly into it. So now the only water available in this desert is tainted with Molly, and that's a sticky situation.
I used to imagine doing that to the church communion wine.
That I think would be good for the community.
I never did it though.
Of course you didn't. You'd go to jail for that.
Yeah, that's illegal. Highly, highly illegal.
But back to my point here, or what I was trying to say before about billionaires and psychedelics. I think psychedelics make you too introspective to do what it takes to become a billionaire.
Right. They only do it after to try and be cool. And
yes,
like,
but by then I don't think like you think. Okay, first of all, what do you think?
Paradigm shift. They're trying to paradigm shift.
I also think there's like a certain level of like self-awareness you need before to be introspective. Like, I don't think if Donald Trump took a bunch of fucking mushrooms, he's going to come out of it an enlightened hippie by any sense.
No way. I saw the friendship movie, the Tim Robinson movie, and his character goes on a mushroom trip or some kind of trip. And kind of like that. Doesn't learn anything.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Well, friendship.
The thing with mushrooms is that if you keep yourself occupied, you you don't, I always try and stay on the out, like, you know, the scary part of mushrooms is when you let them bring you in, like you go inside yourself instead of stay focused on everything going on around you. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're on mushrooms and you're having a bad time, the best thing you can do is change your location and start looking around and doing stuff in your area. Like, just, you know, even picking up a rock and throwing it will take you out.
What if he took a drug that made him feel like empathy for people, like an empathetic drug?
Well, that would be like Molly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean,
maybe he doesn't feel that normally because of like a chemical problem in his brain.
Maybe,
maybe if he took that, he'd like.
I know a lot of people who have taken Molly before who remained assholes afterwards. You know what I mean?
It might be a temporary
burst in empathy, but does it have any lasting, lasting effects?
Probably
that's the thing.
Not.
That's what we need to find out. Is we need to know which. First of all, Donald Trump doesn't even drink. Which is insane. He must be on some sort of like.
He's on Sudafed and uppers, like that kind of thing. Ephedrins. Right. Stimulants.
Oh, I've just made a fatal mistake. Prescription. Here.
Fatal mistake.
Not fatal, but I bit my nail. I bite my nails. I'm bad for that. And now I've, on the middle of while I was biting it off, I see that it is taking off like also a big chunk of that tender flesh. Underneath.
Tell me more.
Nosferatu. Devaluation.
Be careful.
Fuck. Oh, no. This is going to be painful for like weeks now. Okay. Oh, got it out. Hang on.
What a journey. What a journey. Man, I wish we had a camera. I wish we had video.
We're good. We're good. I got it. Man. I did it. I did it without removing too much flesh. Wow.
And will you be able to type again, do you think? Do you think you'll be able to hold a pencil?
I don't know, man. The future is so uncertain right now. Nosferatu. This is back to my point. And then we can get back at the risk of being ADHD completely here. I thought Nosferatu was great visually. I thought the story had some. Do you know how closely it followed the original?
Pretty closely, I think. I can't really remember the original exactly, but I think it's pretty close.
When was the original? When did that come out? That was like a long
time. It was a silent film. But there have been several reimaginings of it.
This would have been better as a silent film, I think. All right, let's take a little Google.
The original silent film is amazing.
Nosferatu.
Silent film is amazing.
Yeah. Okay, when is the original, though? Let's see here.
A long time ago. 1930s, I think.
1922, A Symphony of Horror is what it was called. Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror. I mean, this guy kind of, I'm not going to lie, I think the original Nosferatu was scarier looking.
Yeah, he's an iconic guy. Max Schreck is his name.
Because, I don't know, I couldn't get behind the handlebar mustache. I couldn't.
Yeah, it was kind of distracting, honestly. And the fact that it was Bill Skarsgård is always distracting.
Why?
I can't take it seriously. No, because he's not scary looking. He's like,
are you kidding me? He was great as Pennywise.
I don't know. I just don't find him scary looking.
Is there someone you think that would have done? Do you think it would have been better to have Willem Dafoe as Nosferatu?
Ooh, maybe.
Except for he doesn't, he lacks the height and intimidation.
Yeah, he's not.
Dafoe is like 5'4".
He can be intimidating as a short guy, though.
He can be,
but it's all about Nosferatu. He's magical. He doesn't need to be huge.
Well, I think it added to it that he was a big, imposing figure. Anyways, I'm watching the trailer for the original one right now. Hour 34 minute, really tight, compact, good movie. Okay, yeah, it does seem to be like following. I can tell from the trailer it does hit the same beats as the new one. Okay, but this was my issue with Nosferatu and the story. It's particularly the ending. He forgets to set an alarm and he dies.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets distracted.
He's too obsessed, yeah.
He gets distracted by the poontang. Exactly. That really, I think, is the moral of the story, is how many great men have been taken down by a good looking lady.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's his weakness. That's his weakness. They found his one weakness, which was her.
Wow. It's always, Well, it's a tale as old as time, or at least as old as 1930 or 22.
Nosferatu is pretty similar to Dracula as well.
That's true.
But it's like which a German take on Dracula, right? Basically.
Yeah. I will say some of the cinematography was really great. There was one shot. This is probably my favorite.
It's fantastic.
The favorite part of the whole movie. It was inconsequential, not even really a plot point. But there's this shot at the beginning, near the beginning, anyways, where he's like walking up to Nosferatu's castle for the first time, and he's in this like really dense wood that's foggy, and he's walking down a road, and it's just lit by the moon, as like most of the movie is, just moonlight. And it's like dead silent. And then this chariot of black horses comes. You just barely make them out, and they're coming down the path towards him. It's terrifying. And then it looks like he's about to get trampled. And then he has like a time skip, and he's standing. And now the chariot is perpendicular to him. And the door to the chariot just opens in complete silence. And it like beckons him in. That really, that was like my favorite part of the movie, that one shot, because it was just so unsettling. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen the fucking movie twice. Yeah, of course I know what you're talking about.
You weren't giving me any responses or reactions, Sam, so I didn't know.
Oh,
you were
sorry. I don't know. I thought that's etiquette for this, is you don't interrupt because people etiquette. Then they don't know. They should stop talking. It's like, let people flow. Let people go.
Let them flow. Anyways, that was my favorite shot of the movie. Besides that big full frontal, that one big full frontal shot that really got me going.
That was great. Yeah. Really.
The only thing hanging lower than his mustache handlebars was that ancient dick.
I mean, he didn't even use anymore. He was all about the mouth action. Yeah. That's major true. Oral fixation.
Yeah, for sure. Looked like a very generous lover though. Overall,
do you think that's real? Do you think there are do you think there is people who suck blood?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the myths are based on, for real.
Oh, do you think I think there's goth people that probably do it to be more gothy, but I don't think.
Like historically, do you think there were people who would hide in the woods and then creep out and pretend to be vampires?
Historically, I think people have done basically everything you can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be tribes, like even today, maybe some like uncontacted tribes that practice some sort of cannibalism, right?
That's a lot of different places have a vampire in their folklore. They have some kind of vampire.
Right.
Where does that come from? Reality?
Imagination? Vlad the Impaler was a big inspiration for Dracula. But
was he an inspiration for the idea of a blood sucking thing, or was he just like let's imagine this guy became a vampire?
That's a good question. Because the chupacabra is kind of like a little scrappy little vampire, right?
It's like a vampire's dog. It's like Dracula's dog.
Yeah, basically, Dracula's dog is the chupacabra, and they bonded over their blood draining abilities. I could do a quick little Google here. Vampire. Did you ever notice that?
On the Google. You're off of the DeepSeek and the chat. Well, and the
just for this podcast. I don't want to get controversial. You know, people are really starting to get fired up about AI.
I read an interesting philosophical paper about. Anyway, continue, and then I'll talk about the philosophy.
So, vampire.
Vampire.
Okay, history of vampire. Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm asking DeepSeek. Fuck this. This is why I don't like doing Google anymore, because I have to click links and go jump around to find the answers. Okay, how should I word this? DeepSeek. Tell me about
DeepSeek. Oh, yeah. DeepSeek.
Oh, Lord, may I approach the keyboard? Okay, I'm gonna ask. I'm just gonna say, tell me. I'm gonna say, please tell me. I heard a guy who like really was like a developer of AI. He's like, you should really start saying please and thank you to AI.
I always do. I always do.
Please tell me about the history of the vampire. Boom.
Open ended.
Yeah, I want it to give, you know, I want it to, you know, let it flow. Like you said, you got to let it flow. Early blood drinking spirits. Many ancient civilizations had myths about demons or spirits that consume blood or life force. In Mesopotamia, the Lamashtu was a demoness who preyed on infants. The Hebrew Lilith from Jewish folklore is said to suck blood of babies. Ugh. Greek and Roman
Lilith
myth.
Lilith is from Diablo 4. I know where Lilith, Lilith
oh,
is
yeah,
from.
Of course. Originally from Diablo 4.
Yeah.
Greek and Roman myths featured creatures like Empusa, a shape-shifting demon, and Strix, a nocturnal bird that drank blood. Slavic vampire lore, folklore, the modern vampire legend. Okay, here we go. This is what I'm talking about. The modern vampire legends largely stems from Eastern European, particularly Slavic traditions. Words like upir, Old Russian, and vampire, Serbian, and strigoi, Romanian, refer to undead beings that return to harm the living. People believe that those who died violently were unbaptized or were witches could become vampires. Common protections included stakes through the heart, decapitation, garlic. How do you get from stake through the heart, decapitation? The next thing, of course, on the list would be
they probably fucked up a few garlic. Times. So they're like, hey, how about a non-lethal one in case they're not a vampire.
All right. Yeah. Remember when we cut that guy's head off and he was like totally not a vampire? Why don't we just try it with a really pungent herb first? Let's see. Let's throw some aromatics at him. And then burial face down. Ooh, that sounds disrespectful. In the 1700s,
the worms
In the 1700s, a wave of vampire hysteria swept through Eastern Europe. Cases like Arnold Pale, Serbia, 1725, and Peter Plogojowitz. That's what it's said. Okay, Serbia, 1725, led to exhumations where corpses were staked or burned. These incidents were widely reported.
Whoa! Wow! Wow!
Yeah. And then
widely reported.
Appearance in literature would be 1819. John Polidori's short story introduced the charismatic aristocratic vampire, Lord Ruthven. Inspired by Lord
Ruthie? Byron. Nice.
Lord Ruthven.
Ruthven.
And then the next, okay, so that's the first instance of vampires in literature, and it's spelled V-A-M-P-I-P-Y-R-E. And then the next mention is in 1847 called Varney the Vampire.
Varney. I'm Varney the Vampire.
I'm fucking Varney over here.
Varney. I'm sucking over here.
I'm fucking and sucking over here. Yeah, I'm Varney. Well, there you go. And then after that, after the 19th century, Nosferatu, 1922. An unauthorized adaptation of Dracula. There you go.
Interesting.
There you go. And then, of course, at the natural endpoint to the vampire legacy is what's that freaking show? What's that movie called again? Ah, they're super popular.
Edward Scissorhands?
Or no.
Twilight.
But Edward Scissorhands was kind of a vampire movie in a lot of ways, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Once you get his trim, you can never keep coming back.
Exactly. It's a story about being horny and everything.
I haven't seen that movie, so I don't really know. But
Edward Scissorhands?
No, I haven't seen it.
You should. It's good. It's like it's almost got like a Wes Anderson vibe to it. But
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. Exactly. There you go. But speaking of, Wes Anderson has a new movie coming out. What do you think of Wes Anderson's work?
Hey, look, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get. You're getting a Wes Anderson joint.
You know it's not going to be great when you say, hey, look, to start the review. Hey, look, what did you expect?
Okay, like, here's my point. I don't mean that. I mean the opposite of that. I mean, don't expect you're going to get The Life Aquatic or Royal Tenenbaums.
Every time.
But don't expect that you're going to get schlock either. Like, it's still going to be a fun movie. But set your expectations a little lower. Don't expect Fantastic Mr. Fox.
These are all great movies he made. So why are we expecting?
But he makes because I'm saying he makes a ton of movies, and he's starting to, the frequency of hits is starting to get smaller.
My favorite one is one people don't really talk about, and that's the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I think that's one of his. I think that's a pretty well rated one. I don't think that's underrated.
I thought it was excellent. But yeah, anyways, what were we talking about?
Oh, I had some interesting philosophical insights to add to this discussion of vampires. So this was an interesting paper I read by a philosopher at Cornell University.
Oh, fancy pants. Thinks he's better than us, huh?
Well, I mean, we'll never know. I will never go to that school, unfortunately, probably.
Why not?
They suspended all foreign student visa registration.
Yeah, but they're talking about people that aren't white. You know that.
No. Across the board, like everywhere. Some things on social media that are not kind to the Trump administration.
You have? Where are you posting? I've never seen you post anything on social media.
I post on Reddit. Yeah, I post on Reddit.
Oh, you post on Reddit. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you get
I comment on threads. I don't post.
Do you get in little arguments with people?
No, I just drop a comment and get 1,000 upvotes, and then I move on, you know, with my day.
And then and only then can you move on with your day.
And then and only yeah.
I posted stand up on there. Oh, that's really? That's an experience. it's either been really good, like great feedback, or like this is the worst shit I've ever seen. Nothing in the middle.
There's good creative writing feedback on Reddit, that's for sure. There's some good communities. Yeah. Destructive Readers is great. So anyway, so he wrote this great paper talking about how in philosophy, a lot of the time we talk about something called a folk theory,
right?
Which is like, it's hard to describe exactly what it is, but if you could describe it, it would be what the common people believe about a certain philosophical topic.
Okay.
So for example, you could say that the folk theory about free will is that people are uncaused. You could say that that's like the folk theory of free will. People who aren't acquainted with philosophical work, if you ask them what's free will, they will say like, it means nothing forces me to do what I do.
Right. No one's, there's no, you know, nothing at your back making you march in a certain direction.
Yeah, exactly. But something interesting happens when you find out that the folk theory is wrong, right? So what if it turns out that the folk theory about free will is wrong?
Right.
It's wrong because we don't have free will. We are caused and determined. So does it follow from the folk theory being wrong that then free will doesn't exist? And so that's an interesting question.
So,
or because you could say there, because the answer might be like, well, yeah, of course it doesn't exist. Of course it doesn't exist. The folk theory says free will is this, that thing doesn't exist. So therefore free will refers to something that doesn't exist. And therefore, it's just an empty term. It doesn't exist.
The more we talk about free will, the more I do believe it's an empty term. It's like it always goes back to whether it is real or isn't real does not really affect anything. Right?
Okay. Here's the other question. Because maybe we're wrong. Maybe we should calm down.
I'm calm. You calm down.
Okay, the royal we. The royal we.
Okay. Malish.
Yeah, maybe we should calm down here. Because maybe it's not the case that free will doesn't exist. Maybe it's just not what we thought it was.
Okay. I'm going to let you flow. Sorry.
Okay, so here's the example that relates back to horror, right? So they used to think there were witches, right? They would have witch trials. And like Salem, famously, right? And in Europe too. And they thought witches. Same here, right? It's creepy, eh?
Yeah.
Creepy town.
Imagine Halloween must be fucking lit there.
Oh my god. Keep your black cat inside on Halloween.
It must be the best place to spend Halloween.
Oh, probably. Anyway. So they think that the witches make pacts with the devil to kill babies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, then it turns out that we know that there is no devil, right? We think there's no devil. Uh-huh. I don't think there's a devil. I don't think you do.
No.
So there are no women who are making pacts with the devil, or warlocks, I guess, or whatever they call them, if there are men who are doing it too.
God, that's such a more cool name. Warlock. Both, it depends on your definition of a witch, though, right?
Well, here, that's the question, right? So here, that's the question, right? Do witches not exist because the theory is wrong about witches? The folk theory of witches was that they have pacts with the devil and stuff, but okay, there is nobody who has a pact with the devil, so therefore there's no witches. But then the other possibility is, well, what if witches still exist? They're just not what we thought they were.
Well,
in which case, like, what are they?
They're wicked.
Are they actually evil people? Are they actually bad? Are there actual people who are convinced that they have a pact with the devil and act accordingly? And that's what witches are?
I think that if someone believes truly in their heart that they have a pact with the devil, and then they act on it and kill babies, this is someone who is mentally, in the modern world, if that's something you believe truly, you need to be thrown in an insane asylum.
Yeah. Or on the other hand, more likely, is witch just a label that you throw on people that you want an excuse
to kill,
to ostracize? Yeah.
Well, the modern the modern witch, or people that are going around labeling themselves as witches, are basically a lot of single women with a lot of crystals. Those are
and basically, you have to be single to be a witch. Is it like being a priest in the Catholic Church?
Well, I think there's like a real it's a real feminist movement now in a lot of ways. Look,
that makes sense.
I'm going off of the few witches, self-proclaimed witches, that haunt my social media feeds, and there seems to be some commonalities here. Okay,
witches are on the apps. Wow.
They like crystals. They like the full moon. They like their hair. Was it a harem? Witches,
but they're
coven. Okay, do they have other witches?
Okay, they have a coven, but do they do like actual magic? Like, do they have spells that they do?
They do, yeah.
Okay,
they call it magic with a K, and it's
usually this isn't real. Like, this isn't real Aleister Crowley approved.
Well, I don't think they're smearing shit on it anywhere. I don't think they're killing small animals and like arranging their bones in a circle. Oh.
So they're not really for real.
Well, okay. Depends on what you consider for real. Right, they would say they're witches, and they all claim to be witches. Right? I got my cat from a basement of a witch, and they cast spells as in like they. It's basically this manifesting thing where they're like, "I'm gonna."
You got your cat from a witch? Sorry, I have to rewind.
Yes, my old downstairs neighbor claimed to be a witch. She had a cat who had kittens, and I took one of those kittens, and it is now my cat. Eleanor.
And nothing weird happens around the house that can't be explained?
I mean, lots of weird stuff happens, but it can all be explained, basically. Okay. But my cat's brother, they kept that one, the witch. And I went back to that house to visit my friends that were living upstairs. And I ran into my cat's brother outside. His name was Shadow Moon. And he was very nice. I don't know where I was going with that story. I'm saying is that the people that claim they're witches now, it's more of like a social, it's more of like an aesthetic than anything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's they get the crystals charge in the moonlight. They hang out with their friends. They drink wine and make special drinks that are potions, but really it's just alcohol or THC drinks.
There are people who, yeah, go. Uh-huh. Yeah. I would
agree. Without exception, every single one of these people is really into like rave culture as well. So they go to the music festivals. They get glow sticks. They dance around, and it's like stuff like that.
So is my theory wrong that there aren't anyone who takes this a bit more historically, and like they don't go on the apps and they try to
classic
do
real magic? Witchery, classic witchery,
more rooted in a real tradition.
I think it's probably for sure happening somewhere, but yeah. It's not like people they're not that
on
are
the apps.
Yeah. If you meet someone who doesn't have a social media and doesn't, you know, even use technology, and they claim to be a witch, you need to be very careful about that person.
Yeah, because they're for real.
They're for real. They're not there for the, you know, for the aesthetic and the, you know, getting together with their gal pals and, you know, putting crystals places. This is a person that lives somewhere off the grid, and you will find dead animals indoors.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. So this is a super interesting topic, because they've done this, they've done experimental philosophy with this idea. So experimental philosophy is like a new kind of new area of philosophy, or relatively new. I mean, it's relatively new, right? Like the last 50 years maybe or something.
I don't know. You're asking me. You're asking the wrong guy here.
I don't know. Deep Sea helps. Basically you do like experiments where you ask people questions and record their answers and try to sort of suss out any sort of philosophical insights that you can. And so they've done this. The scenario that they present to people is they say, like, in the Middle Ages, peasants in Europe maybe were familiar with a story of a strange animal from, you know, far off lands. That looked like a pig, but had this huge head that was so heavy it couldn't lift it off the ground, and so it had to run around dragging its head on the ground everywhere.
That's terrifying.
And it had some name. I can't remember what the name was. Let's pretend it's like called a
fatty pig, fat head,
fatty pig or something. Yeah,
fat head pig boy,
fat head pig. Sure, And so it turns out that this was probably some sort of weird description of a warthog from Africa, from sub-Saharan Africa,
right?
From the savannas. And so the question that they would ask people is, do fatty pig heads exist? And people would answer, no, they don't exist.
Right.
And then they would ask them, are fatty pig heads warthogs? And the people would answer, yes, they're warthogs.
Uh-huh.
And so the question is, are those answers contradictory? Because on the one hand, you said the fatty pig heads don't exist. But then on the other hand, they say the fatty pig heads are warthogs. So is there a contradiction there?
Well, I can think of something in our city that is similar, and we have a local legend in our town about a monster that lives in our lake.
Oh, okay, sure, great.
And it's called the Ogopogo, which is great. Not exactly a terror, not exactly a scary name, no. The Ogopogo, but that's the type of place we live. All the names, Kamloops is our next town over. It's just weird. Okay, but the Ogopogo is said to be a long serpentine monster that lives in our lake. And if you ask the locals here if the Ogopogo exists, they would say no. But if you asked them, is the Ogopogo just a giant sturgeon, they would say yes. Because that's almost certainly where the legend originated from, because these giant sturgeons in our lake, when they are close to the surface, they have these kind of like spiky ridges along their back, and it really does look like a dragon is swimming when they're big enough. And it's like pretty clear once you see it, once you see one of these giant sturgeons, you're like, obviously this is where the legend of the Ogopogo came from. So is there an Ogopogo? Yes, in the sense that the Ogopogo is just one of these giant sturgeons, and there's many of them. It's not a singular thing.
Yeah, that's great. So like, it sounds like you would think that there's not a contradiction, because they're like, it's almost like two different answers.
It's like the legend of the Ogopogo is a legit, it came from a legitimate place, as in back in the day when the natives were here, the indigenous tribes of Okanagan, when they looked at these giant sturgeons for, and they, maybe the legend started when they first, you know, came here, and you would see one of these giant sturgeons swimming along, you know, just under the surface of the lake, you would think it's a monster. So in that sense, it is true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's kind of similar to what this philosopher says in his paper. I think what he says in his paper is that there's no, basically when you say there's no Ogopogo, what you mean is you're using a different sort of theory of reference, which is that the term just refers to whatever the theory says the term refers to.
Right.
So the folk theory of Ogopogo is that it's a big giant monster that lives in the lake.
A singular creature that is a danger to humans, which is not
a menace to society.
Sturgeons, as far as I can tell, are, I've never heard of a sturgeon attack, but maybe it does happen.
I saw there's one in an aquarium that attacks a diver in an aquarium. Very briefly, really? Tries to swallow her. Yeah.
So maybe at some point in the history of our valley, there was a sturgeon so big, because I think we have some of the biggest in the world in our lake.
Maybe there was
some so big that they were able to eat humans. Although I think it was probably like one of those things where it's like not.
I think River Monsters did an episode about this. Not on our lake, though, to be fair. But I think he did sturgeons, and they can't do it. They're just not big enough.
That guy's such a bad. They had to stop that show because he caught every river monster in existence. they ran out of episodes because of that.
Amazing. To get back on the topic.
Yeah.
So the folk theory says that Ogopogo is this big monster, this dangerous menace to society, long snake-like monster lives in the lake. So when you say, does Ogopogo exist, people take it to mean that you're referring to the folk theory frame of reference.
Right.
And so they say, no, it doesn't exist. And then when you say, oh, are Ogopogos sturgeons? People are like, oh, now you're using a different theory of reference, which is that things refer to what causes them to, like that first instance that you're talking about where someone came across one of these things and called it an Ogopogo. According to that theory, that is just what when they referred to it, they were wrong, but an Ogopogo is just a sturgeon. They just were wrong about it when they pointed at it.
Right. The legend of the Ogopogo is very real, right? The legend that gets passed around, that is real. That's more real than the Ogopogo.
The legend exists. Yeah, there's two different ways you can say the legend exists. Yeah,
exactly. So the legend does exist. And the if someone says, have you heard of the Ogopogo? People are going to say yes, and they're not going to preface it with like, I don't believe it's a real thing, though, right?
True. I'm not a believer. Yeah, just to be clear.
A better question would be like, should I be worried about the Ogopogo? And the answer you would hear is no. And then when someone asks why, you could say because they're just, the Ogopogo is a giant sturgeon that lives at the bottom of the lake. You know what? Maybe it is a very specific sturgeon that was being referenced back in the day. You know, when the legend of the Ogopogo first became real, maybe there was a particularly violent and large sturgeon in the lake that the indigenous tribes were referencing, this one specific sturgeon.
And they live for like over 100 years.
Really? They're like turtles.
Yeah. They live a long time.
So in a sense, the Ogopogo, as in the menace to society, might have been true at one time as far as it referencing a specific individual giant sturgeon.
Yeah. And then a theory grew around it that it was a more than just a giant sturgeon, perhaps.
Well, maybe they didn't even use the word, like, they didn't use the word
sturgeon. They didn't know what sturgeons were. Maybe not.
So it was,
it
was just a giant lake monster to them. So in that sense, the Ogopogo is a legit, literal, true thing.
Yeah, historically speaking, yeah, there was one.
And if it can live, I don't know, maybe the one that they referred to as Ogopogo, maybe that's the name they gave that sturgeon. Like, just
that's this other theory of reference, the causal historical theory of reference. Is
so back then, maybe they came home and their canoe got attacked, and people would be like, was it the Ogopogo or was it just some other lesser sturgeon, right? Yeah. So in conclusion, the Ogopogo probably was real. It's just probably isn't still alive.
If the folk theory is that it's a monster, like an immortal monster kind of thing,
immortal,
then you would say,
well, I don't know,
immortal.
I know
monsters are immortal.
What?
All monsters are immortal. What are we doing this? Let's go.
Are we doing this late into the podcast? We don't have time to get to this art because
monsters
is...
don't die of old age. Are you kidding me? No way. No way.
So you
old
think
Kong, old Kong, King old Kong doesn't get old and just die? No way.
Okay. What about a werewolf? There's no old. You thinking one? Okay. Werewolves, monsters or not? Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, well, misunderstood, I think.
What does that mean?
They're not monsters, they're misunderstood. Some of them. I mean, some of them can't control it, right? I mean, we've watched Harry Potter, right? Remus, he's a good guy.
I wasn't allowed to watch Harry Potter, so I've only watched them very out of order and very
to this day.
Small points. I don't think I don't know if I've ever watched it like in order all the way through every one.
Oh, you should. It's good.
It's good late.
Stuff.
It's also bad magic in there, and God hates that stuff.
No, it's good. Good magic.
Okay, get back
Rowling,
to the point here.
J.K. Rowling is pro everything the Jesus people are pro.
Okay, we need to define. We're going to Jordan Peterson this. What are we? What is them? What do you mean by monster?
Well, Dr. Peterson, thank you for being here on the show.
Shut up. shut up and speak at the same time.
Jesus.
Don't look at me. Look at the ground. Look at my tie. Look at my suit. It's two colors.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I think a monster, right? We would mean some sort of hostile other thing that's trying to cross over our boundaries.
Now, do monsters have to be hostile? So, are there creatures that are unknown? Say, let's say, just for funsies, let's say the Sasquatch. Let's pretend the Sasquatch is not hostile. Okay? Are you envisioning it? Is he a monster?
No, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't have enough information.
Well, that's what I'm trying to set definitions here. What is a monster?
No, I don't.
If the Sasquatch generally doesn't attack. It depends on the heart. What's in the heart? What's in Loch Ness Monster's true motives, right?
The werewolf, right?
Yeah. The werewolf is a human being. This gets back to my, are they immortal? Is it anywhere mentioned in lore?
Yep, sorry. Go ahead.
If we go back to the history, okay. DeepSeek, may I approach you? Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask it. Give me a history of werewolves, and I'm just going to ask it straight up. Are
werewolves immortal? Yeah.
Werewolves.
They can only be killed with silver bullets, but so they can be killed. But
they can be killed, of old age.
Do werewolves die of old age? Okay. Settle this.
It's taking a long time to think about
it. It's taking a long time. It's loading, loading. It's never been asked a question this hard and short.
I don't have enough information. It's got attacked. It's actually reaching out. It's like, let me get my buddy ChatGPT in here. We can hash this out.
They're going to create the singularity trying to solve this problem. I have to make a real werewolf. Yeah,
me and ChatGPT have to create a smarter AI with quantum computing. Okay, it's loaded. All right. Okay. It depends on the universe in which you're talking to. Traditionally. Ooh, wow.
That did take a while.
Age normally can be killed by conventional means. Boom. Some tales suggest they
what they just die.
Not die. They don't just die. It's old age.
They do. So they do just die of old age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Obviously.
That takes a lot of the sting out of them. So
mortal werewolves, most common. Many store they're vulnerable to death and or old age. Boom.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
And then there's the long-lived but not truly immortal. Some virgins grant werewolves slowed aging or enhanced healing, letting them live for centuries. Mm-hmm. And then there are rare cases. It says rare cases. Immortal werewolves. A few stories. Wow. Twilight, apparently, is one of them. Fucking Jacob.
The most popular, therefore, the folk theory. Oh, monsters.
You think that's the most popular iteration of a werewolf was in Twilight? Those are barely
name a werewolf in a higher grossing film. I'll wait.
Wait, let me think. I won't be able to find one. But think of this. The werewolves in that movie, they're not even werewolves. They just straight up turn into wolves. They aren't werewolves. They
You're walk on semantics.
No, because they don't. Werewolves traditionally have torn pants. They wear jean shorts, and they walk on their two legs, right?
If they want to keep a sense of human style, maybe.
No. Most werewolves in most stories walk on two legs. True. Don't that's lie true. To me here. So the werewolves in Twilight are just wolves that turn into humans. And vice versa.
So they're
the
more
where,
like
there's no where. There's no where. It's just wolf or human.
Oh. So in Twilight lore, did they used to, because the Dracula typically commands wolves. Vampires typically command wolves. Is there some lore in Twilight where the wolves rebelled against the vampires and that's why they hate each other now?
Probably.
That's why Edward and now what's his other name?
Jacob.
Jacob. Is that where they hate each other so much? Because they used to be slaves?
I haven't seen those ones either, but I can only assume that there's some sort of mention of that. Which makes me remember in Nosferatu, to tie this podcast up in a nice little bookend bow, there's a scene where the main guy that goes to the castle, right? He's getting all twisted up and mind-fucked by Nosferatu, right? And the way he escapes the castle is like, this is the shot. This was confusing me the whole time I watched it. The guy wakes up. He's in bed, right? He's in bed at Dracula's guest room or whatever. Looks down, sees that Nosferatu took a couple sips of him in the night. But what happens is he wakes up. A wolf walks by his bedroom door, looks at him, attacks him, jumps on the bed, and the guy runs, jumps out his window into a river, and that's how he escapes.
In the silent film?
No, in the modern one.
Yeah.
No. It's like the wolves.
I'd do that. I'd jump out a window.
I know, but like if Nosferatu wanted to keep this guy around, why was he letting his wolves just willy-nilly attack him? It's like maybe he forgot to put him in his kennel, but like the wolf saw him, attacked him, forced him to jump out the window, and now Nosferatu's guy is gone.
Well, maybe he thought that would kill him. Maybe he underestimated his resilience.
Was he just like, hey, wolf, go, wolf one, you can go kill that guy now, even though I like took the time to put him in bed and dress him in his jammies and whatever.
Maybe that's just part of his arrogance. Carelessness.
He was an arrogant guy for sure.
Very arrogant. Very arrogant. Mm. Totally dismissed. Totally forgot about the whole thing where he can't get hit by the sun. Just forgot about
it. The one thing he should be so acutely aware of is the time of night.
And that's relatable. We can all relate to him.
We can relate to that as teenagers.
We've all done that. We've all done that.
Well, when we were young, maybe. We're talking about a thousand years.
That's what love can get you. Love
a thousand years of always having his alarm correctly set, never getting hit with sunlight. And then just one evening he slips up and that's it. That's how he dies. That was so disappointing. Mm-hmm. When I saw that.
Well, she was the one, though. She was the one that summoned him, that awoke him.
Yeah. And hey, right? good looking girl. You know, personality had a lot.
Lily Rose Depp. What was her character's name?
I can't remember
her character's name.
Good looking girl. Yeah. But, you know, the personality was much to be desired in that department. A bit of a downer, that lady.
I found her way scarier than Bill's character.
Because truly, she was scarier. He's like, stay away from her for sure. They were actually great. They're great together, I thought, those two. Nosferatu and...
they were good.
Yeah. Orlok.
Orlok. Count Orlok.
Count Orlok.
I would recommend Sinners. It was also quite well done.
Well, I have a date night coming up here with the
that's a great date night.
Yeah, so maybe I'll ask her if it's still out. Then it might not be in theaters.
It's still at Landmark. I don't know where else it's playing, but still at Landmark. Okay. Making big money, directed by Ryan Coogler, directed Black Panther, starring Michael B. Jordan playing twins. Right?
Oh.
He's incredible. He's so good in this movie.
The ladies must be happy about that, huh?
And it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I started
slate of films coming out this summer. Great slate of films. Lots of horror movies. They were putting butts in seats. I saw Mission Impossible. It was great.
Butts in seats.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is acting, right? So when you see Mission Impossible, they play, he does a PSA before the film starts where he thanks the audience for coming to see it in theaters.
Well, he did that with Top Gun too.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and then the movie starts and he's Ethan Hunt. But so my thinking is he acting in the PSA? Like, is that a character?
Is he truly thankful? is this
like to deliver because like it's he has a vested interest in putting movies in theaters.
Yeah,
he loves he wants that to happen.
Okay,
right? But he's so weird. He's a weird person.
What do we mean
right?
by acting? What do you mean by acting?
But he's like he does not have a normal personality.
No, so I think he's been acting like, ever since he was a child.
Okay, so you think he is a full time like. He
I don't think his name is Tom Cruise. I think his name
no,
was
it's not.
Probably,
it's not originally. It's a stage name. Yeah.
Really? Okay. I think he has adopted a persona that is Tom Cruise, and that persona acts. So he's acting within an act.
Yeah, that's like the Prestige, the magician with the fishbowl between his legs.
Right. Right. This he's is like always this is the trick.
This is the trick. This is the trick.
No, that's a banger movie. Okay. Well,
one of Christopher Nolan's best. But The Odyssey, when's that coming out? That's going to be great.
What's The Odyssey?
Excuse me?
Like the old story? Like,
yeah,
like Homer?
Oh. Yeah, Homer. He's wow. Doing, Christopher Nolan is shooting The Odyssey with Matt Damon.
I never would have thought Homer Simpson could write Odysseus. Something like that. It's really bad joke to end the podcast. Oh, okay. That's the podcast. Watch Nosferatu. I started watching Sons of Anarchy. Never seen it before. Really explains a lot about some of the personality changes in high school. A lot of people in high school were trying to be the main character. That's it. Thank you so much, Lisa, for the email. Anyone else that wants to send us an email? You see now how excited we get when our listeners reach out to us and let us know that they exist. It's what a rush.
What a rush. Amazing. Thank you so much.
That's it. Okay. Goodbye. Love you. TPSpod420@gmail.com.
TPSpod420@gmail.com. See ya.